Well, we appreciated the staff. We appreciated the volunteers today. And I just also, our family, just wanted to extend once again our appreciation to you and how much we appreciate all of you and all of your support that you have been with us, that you've given us since we have been here. And I say that to say that all of you are invited. Yeah, everybody perked up then. Yeah, what's going on? You'll see in the foyer there's invitations to a graduation party for two individuals that are sitting down here down front, one high school, one college, and all of you are invited July 16th. There's invitations in the back, and please, if possible, to just take one per family. There's information for RSVP out there as well, July 16th, and there will be food. I know that normally is the staple that brings people in, so there will be food. So we look forward to having you there because we see all of you as our extended family, and we appreciate you today. So today we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." When we look at this, the whole book of Proverbs, first of all, from the very beginning, it is all about wisdom. Everything's about wisdom. It's actually contrasted. It's the idea of wisdom and foolishness. So you could say that the whole book of Proverbs is about being wise or being a fool. And it's always the contrast of both telling you what makes somebody wise and what makes somebody a fool. And it's an interesting book when you study it that way because you're able to see all the differences between what it takes to be wise and what it takes to be foolish and how we need something to guide us. And that's pretty much what the whole book of Proverbs is about, is that we can't handle things on our own. We need guidance. We need somebody to speak truth into our lives, because if we handle everything on our own, well, you've seen what happens, right? You've seen what happens when we handle everything on our own. We mess everything up, right? Or maybe I'm the only one that does that. I mess everything up. If I step out and do what I think needs to be done, and I don't have God involved and I don't have any guidance, I just mess everything up and I destroy everything. The one thing to understand in this passage right here is when it says, "Does not wisdom..." And that's the first thing I want you to think about today, is the idea, does not wisdom call? When you think about that idea of wisdom is actually calling after you, that's when you begin to understand that there's something about this idea of wisdom, that it isn't something that we just stumble onto. It isn't something that that all of a sudden we just kind of find, but wisdom is coming after you. From the time that you are born, and then continue to, as you are growing up, and as you are growing older, wisdom is calling out to you. It's trying to get your attention. It's trying to let you know what is right and what is wrong and how you should live and what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. And I guess you could make the case that what he's talking about here is our conscience, the whole idea of having a conscience, that whole idea of a conscience that tells us what's right and what's wrong. It's that internal thing of not necessarily doesn't anybody have to tell us. It's that internal thing we're all born with, that there's this understanding of what's right, what's wrong, what's appropriate, what's not. And how many here have ever experienced a guilty conscience? It's not a fun experience, is it? It's very uncomfortable, isn't it? And usually when you experience a guilty conscience, what happens is it isn't just the idea of in your brain or your mind of you're saying, "Oh, I messed up." It kind of takes you from head to toe, doesn't it? It just kind of ruins everything. Right? All of a sudden, you really, I'm sorry, I can't eat. I lost my appetite. Or I'm sorry, I don't want to see that. Well, you always have wanted to. Yeah, but not now. And it just takes over, and we internalize it, and there's frustration, there's emotions, there's everything that's involved to tell us. And it's that voice that's telling us, you did something wrong. Now, I want to be careful because we're not talking about over-shame or over-guilt or false guilt, which the enemy can come by and start throwing at us too many times. He lies to us and tells you did something wrong when you didn't, and I understand that. And we need to be careful about not heaping guilt or shame on everybody and saying you're just not good, you're just not going to measure up. We're not talking about that as much as what we're talking about is that idea of all of a sudden God just reveals it to you through your conscience that I am wrong. I did something wrong, and I need to make it right. That's what the idea of wisdom is. That's what the idea of wisdom calling after you is. So the idea, when you think of wisdom, it's the idea that it's calling out, it's trying to get your attention, it's trying to make sure that you grasp this truth. It's coming after you. And the good thing about this is that since that's true, that wisdom is calling after you, and that wisdom is coming after you, that all we really need to do, we don't need to really look around to try to find it, it's going to be calling us. It's going to be knocking on our door. It's going to be screaming. A mentor of mine one time said that God will get a ball bat out if he has to get something through your thick skull. If you need to, God's going to find some way to get the truth to you. Somehow, some way, it's going to happen. And that's how much God loves us. And that's the picture that he's giving us here of wisdom calling out. Wisdom screaming and calling out. Anybody here ever been near a blowhorn or a bullhorn? Yes, they can get pretty loud, can't they? Especially if you're standing right beside them and you don't realize they're about ready to do it. You ever been in that situation? You're at some event, maybe, and somebody needs to direct traffic or something, and next thing you know, right beside you, there's this, if everybody could please move to the... And you jump over, and you're trying to figure it out. Verse 5. Verse 5 is an interesting verse. Oh, naive ones, understand prudence, and oh, fools, understand wisdom. Naive is the in the Hebrew word, it's naivety in the Hebrew word, and the word itself is basically easily persuaded. Easily persuaded. And so I'd like to ask you today, if you would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how easily persuaded are you? What does it take to get you to kind of sway over here when you believe this? And how much does it take for you to question this belief because somebody brought it up over here? I would venture to say that probably everybody here has been persuaded at one time or another by somebody or something. But I would especially say that all of us probably in some fashion, at some time, in some way, we have been persuaded by the media. The media has a way of persuading our thoughts. Doesn't it? It doesn't matter what side you're on. This isn't a political speech. We're not talking about Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. We're not talking about that. I think there's fault on both sides, that there's something about media that they're able to persuade where you believe one thing and then you watch something and all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I'm swaying and I'm over here. I've heard of believers in Christ who, because somebody came to their door and knocked on their door and told them of another faith, they were over here, but then because that person came, they're persuading over here. It's so easy for us to be easily persuaded. And in the book of James, he even talks about this. In the book of James, he talks about the idea of being persuaded and that if you don't know what you believe, you're like a double-minded man and you just sway like the waves of the ocean back and forth, the rudder of a ship just going back and forth, and you never really land anywhere on what your foundation is or on what you believe or what you understand. And it's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? Because especially in a world of confusion, it's easy for us to be persuaded in one direction versus another direction. And And we don't have that solid faith or that solid belief. So that's what he's saying when he's talking about the naive. He says, oh, naive ones, understand prudence. And then he moves to, oh, fools, understand wisdom. Now, foolish, in the Greek text, and I'm going to tell you what the definition said. This is not Chad. This is the definition of the a Hebrew word, but actually in the Greek word, because they did the Greek from the Septuagint, because they did the Septuagint, which is where they went back to the Hebrew and changed all of them into Greek so that everybody in the Greek culture could understand. Everybody got that? All right. So the Greek word and the Hebrew word as well, they both have the similar meanings, but basically, I'll read it verbatim because I tried to memorize it before this message. Fool is simpleton. Stupid one. Arrogant. Now, I don't know about you, but when I saw that definition, I was thinking simpleton. Well, that makes sense. He's saying fool. That's what I think of when I think of a fool, a simpleton. And stupid one, well, that's kind of harsh, but okay, yeah, foolish, yeah. Arrogant? I wouldn't have just naturally said that a fool is arrogant, but it's part of the definition, which means that this whole idea of foolish versus wisdom, the reason that somebody is a fool is because they're arrogant, which means they're full of themselves, even though they're a simpleton, and even though they're stupid, they're still arrogant, and they're still bragging about. Could you imagine somebody bragging about them being a simpleton or being stupid? Just think about that. I mean, just brag about, look at how stupid I am. You know, no one's... It's really ridiculous when you think about it. But that's the idea of what he's getting at with the whole idea of fool. So what this is all about is comes back to the whole purpose of Proverbs, that all of us, it doesn't matter who we are, what our background is, how good we think we are, how arrogant we might think we are, it doesn't matter. All of us fall into the realm of we need wisdom and we need to be guided. We need to be instructed. Someone needs to speak truth into our life, because left to ourselves, we're a mess. Left to ourselves, we ruin everything. And that's what he's getting at here with the idea of the naive and the foolish. We need something. We need guidance. How many people here have ever been to an amusement park? I thought about this week, and I didn't put this together in my own mind, but maybe you've never thought about this, but personally, I begin to think that if there's ever a place that has some very strict guidance, it's an amusement park. Because I remember as a kid going to the amusement park. Our family went every year, our church went every year to Kings Island when we lived in Ohio, and we were there when the Beast first came out, which was the largest roller coaster at the time and everything else, and we went there, and my brother was going to ride the Beast, my sister was going to ride the Beast, others were going to ride the Beast. I get there, okay, I'm going to ride the Beast. Guess what I was told? No, you're not. Go up to the sign. If you are this tall, you can ride on the ride. But I wasn't that tall, so I couldn't. So I was disappointed. And why? Because I needed guidance, right? Because it would have been foolish for me, somebody who's too little, too young, to get on a dangerous roller coaster, correct? That's why the guidance is there. That's why it's there to guide us. Now, I will tell you, the day finally came when I was tall enough to get on the roller coaster, and I was so excited, and I remember about halfway through the ride, I was saying to myself, they should probably raise it a little higher. I'm talking whiplash all the way through. But there's guidance. Anybody ever been on a bumper car? Yeah. How many people here enjoy bumper cars? Anybody? You really enjoy them? Because, I mean, I like them, but there's those moments of bumper cars that I don't like. You know, you're going along, and you start off, and you're just spinning around, speeding around the corner, and somebody has the nerve. Somebody has the audacity. You don't even see them. A lot of times they're behind you, and all of a sudden you're like kissing the steering wheel because they come up, pow! wow. And then they laugh, ha ha, gotcha, and they go on to the next one, right? Well, now, you know how bumper cars work, right? Bumper cars work where they have the electricity and everything, and so it's dangerous. That's why they always say, what do they say every time? Stay in your car till it all comes to a stop, and then we will dismiss you, right? Stay in, don't get out, don't touch anything. I remember one time, I was there, bumper cars. I was in line with a few others, and everybody was in the bumper cars, and they were going around and hitting each other, and somebody, like a kid, lost his ball cap, and it fell right in the middle. And naturally, what would you do in that? Not naturally, okay? We're not talking about after somebody instructed you. Naturally, what would your instinct be if you're right there? Yeah, you reach down and pick it up. The individual who was standing there at the gate, who was in charge, immediately got on the speaker. Do not reach for it. 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 And of course, the kid didn't reach for it. Now, why was that important? Because the kid needed guidance. Because what could have happened? Well, there could have been electrocution. He could have broken his arm with another bumper car coming up. We need guidance. And I think that some of it is that the idea of needing guidance, we forget about the fact that we need it because a lot of us think that we've heard enough of it. We've heard enough of the guidance, and we say, well, that would be stupid if they would do that. So why would they do that? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, we don't need that guidance anymore. I mean, have you ever seen, like, instructions anymore? You've seen the labels. You've seen the instructions. You know, caution, the coffee might be hot. Wow, thank you for that guidance. I had no idea. Now, why do they do that? All of us know why. Years ago, somebody sued somebody because they got burnt. Their tongue got burnt on hot coffee, and they weren't told that it was hot before they burnt their tongue. So they need guidance. So that tells me that, and you need to understand also that not everybody understands the guidelines the way you do or the way that you were brought up with. You may look at somebody and say, well, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that, when they may not. Recently, driving in the car, and everybody in my family, my wife, everybody will tell you, I am not a terrific driver. I admit it. Now that I have more drivers in my house, I don't know what to do with. I let them drive me wherever. I love having a chauffeur because I have never been a good driver. I have never had good instincts. I'm too much of a processor. I'm a slow thinker. And so that's not good when you're driving, you know, to process. Oh, there's a car coming. Should I turn? But what happens is I was driving here recently, and there's one intersection. I'm not going to say where it is, but I talked to a few of you, and some of you said that you've seen them elsewhere. I mean, at this intersection, it's a pretty busy intersection. It's pretty dangerous. It's just two stop signs, and then there's a two-lane going this way that you're crossing, and there's this big, bright, fluorescent sign across the street. It can knock you over, and it says, look right, look left. Then look right again, then pull out. You know my first thought when I was there the first time? You think I needed to be told that? Here cars are whizzing. What should I do? Oh, look right, okay. Look left, oh, that's right. I forgot there were cars that coming that way. Look left, and look right again, just to make sure. I kind of do that out of instinct. In fact, that sign didn't need to be there. I'm sitting there, and I'm doing it about 20 times, to be honest with you, just to make sure I can get through, right? Anybody seen signs like that? I'm surprised. I see them, and I'm thinking, did they go to the same driver's training I did? Because that's just basic understanding of how to drive. But I thought to myself, well, I mean, it's hard to think, but maybe there are worse drivers out there than me. And then you start thinking of all the different situations somebody might be in, somebody that might be elderly, somebody that might be a new driver, somebody that might be distracted. That's good for them to have because they need guidance. All of us need guidance. And when we ever get to the place where we think we don't, if we ever get to that place where I don't need guidance,
I got this. I figure it all out. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do or how to do it. I got this. I know. We become that arrogant fool. That stupid one, that simpleton who's actually arrogant and believes that he doesn't need anything. So there's another aspect to this whole thing, and we're going to look at the book of Colossians. You remember I've said several times that anytime you study the Old Testament, you always need to look into the New Testament. And there's several different New Testament passages that can support what Proverbs is saying, but we're going to be looking here at Colossians. And when we go to Colossians chapter 2, listen to what Paul says to the church of Colossae. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you, persuade you. No one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Do you catch what he's saying there? That in whom, in Jesus, is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So at the beginning, you might have been thinking, where do we go for this wisdom? How do we get this wisdom? Jesus. Yeah, but how do we get it though? It's Jesus. It's in Jesus. Jesus is the one. He's the one in him. It is where you're going to find all the wisdom. In him, you're not going to be a fool. In him, you're not going to be stupid. You're not going to be a simpleton. You're not going to be arrogant. It's all in Jesus. It all comes back to Jesus. And he says this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. So no one will get you to sway and start to believe that he isn't wisdom and there's something else to wisdom and maybe there's something different and maybe it's this, but no, it's Jesus. So if we go back to the book of Proverbs, and if we put Jesus in there instead of wisdom, which we definitely should because of what the New Testament is teaching us, we could easily say and easily make the case that Jesus is calling out after you. Jesus is coming after you. Well, I thought it was wisdom. Yeah, but all wisdom is Jesus, so Jesus is the one who's coming after you. And Jesus is the one that wants you to be what he desires you to be. If Jesus is doing that, in that place of wisdom in Proverbs, then it's safe for us to say that Jesus is on your side. I don't know where you think he's at in your life right now. I don't know where he's at in your life, but one thing that is safe to say is that he's on your side. He's cheering for you. He is calling after you. He desires you to be a part of his kingdom. He wants you there because he knows that you left to yourself is a disaster. You're a mess. He knows that. He knows what happened after creation when man fell and how man just ruined everything and continues to destroy everything unless they come to him. He walked with disciples and he met the Pharisees and he saw how much both parties while he was on the earth ruined everything until any of them started following him and doing what they said in the book of Acts. And he knows how much you need guidance and he knows how much you need to, you need him. And he desires you to be a part of his kingdom. And he's on your side. We mentioned the book of James, and James is popular with this. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, Jesus, if any of you lacks Jesus, however you want to say it, he should ask God,
who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So the whole idea of coming to Jesus and the whole idea of following Jesus and coming in and realizing who Jesus is and being a part of his kingdom, it all has to do with the whole idea of, I don't know how to run my life. I'm second rate. I need guidance. I need something here. And according to James, is that all you have to do is ask, and he will give it to you. But when you ask, you must believe. Don't be persuaded. You must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Ever been there? Ever been blown and tossed so much that maybe you were so confused you just didn't quite know where to go or how to figure it out? Or blown and tossed by the wind. It's not a fun place to be if you're easily persuaded. It's not a great place to be at all. It's actually a very uncomfortable place. It's a very frustrating place. It's a place of, where is truth? Is there truth? Is there anything that is true? I mean, every time I hear somebody say they're telling the truth, I find out later they weren't, and everybody's being dishonest. I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to trust. And the reality is that it's the person of Jesus is the one that you can trust. And it's been proven from the beginning. It's been proven since the scriptures. It's been proven from the beginning who Jesus is and how, according to Paul, that no persuasion, only Jesus. So Jesus is calling after you. He wants you in. How much do you want to be in? He wants you in. He's calling after you. You need to be guided. And is there anybody here today that would agree or say that I have some arrogance that God needs to take away, because I need to be guided by him? Because left to myself, I'm just a mess. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for all that you mean to us. And we ask, God, today that you would show each of us what this means. Lord, we so often try to handle things on our own without you, without your guidance. And we so often forget about who you are. And the truth is, many times throughout our life, you are calling us. You are standing at that gate and calling us because you want us in the kingdom, and you're trying your best to remind us, please don't do it on your own. Please don't do it without me. You know you ruin it every time. You need me. You need me to guide you. You need guidance. Please stop being arrogant. You have no reason to be arrogant. You must have me in your life. You must have me calling the shots. You must have me guiding you. Lord, show each of us what this means in our own life. Show us the way. Guide us and direct us. We ask all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?